Goggin Cold Hall Studios. This is the second hour of the George Plaster Show.
He is the holder of a PhD, an MA, a BA, and is a BMF besides.
Get in on the George Plaster Show. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Or online at WNSR.com. And now, here's the man, the myth, the legend. George Plaster.
Well, we promise you the 3 o'clock hour will not be dull. George Plaster, Watson Brown, Terry McCormick. And we're going to talk about a story that has gotten on ESPN.com. Our friend Chris Lowe has done an amazing job with this. It's called Trash Talk, Mattress Fires, and a Flying Projector, Lane Kiffin's Year at Tennessee. For the record, Lane Kiffin's year was 2009. He was a 34-year-old head coach in the Southeastern Conference, which seems young, but Steve Sloan and Bill Battle were both 28 years old when they got hired at Vandy and Tennessee, respectively. Anyway, I'm going to read.
George, I'm not far from that myself in the Southwest Conference and then at Vanderbilt myself. So, been there, done that.
What were you? Young. How young were you?
Well, I was 28 at Austin Peay, my first job, so that would have made me 31 as head coach at Cincinnati, 32 at Rice, so I would have been 34. When I went to 34, 35 when I went to Vanderbilt.
Wow.
So that was my fourth job, and I'm 34, 35 years old.
Amazing.
So, yep, been there, done that.
Yeah.
Made a lot of the same mistakes.
So some of you will have heard this first part at 2 o'clock, but I'm going to reread it again. Team meetings at the Birmingham Marriott were winding down the night before Tennessee was set to take on top-ranked and undefeated Alabama. And Ed Orgeron wanted everyone's attention. Now, Orgeron, as you know, is the head coach at LSU. But back then, he was the defensive coordinator at the University of Tennessee. And I have always thought was kind of a big goofball.
Another great young man from Destrehan, Louisiana. Hold on a second.
Hey, guys. Hey, I'm having a press conference, okay? Thank you.
Thank you. To get the Vols pumped up, the fiery defensive line coach took an overhead projector and hurled it into a wall where it shattered into pieces. Then it was Lane Kiffin's turn. The brash young head coach had an announcement. He gets up there and says, quote, "I've already called back to the University of Tennessee and told them that we're going to stay an extra night after we beat Alabama tomorrow. And we're going to go eat some of those Dreamland ribs and hang out at their bars." This according to Marlon Walls, who was then a freshman defensive lineman. The whole room went wild, including Kiffin's father, Monty, the Vols' 69-year-old defensive coordinator. And this quote is from then-senior defensive lineman Wes Brown, who says, "I believe Monty even picked up a chair and threw it. Whatever we could get our hands on, we were throwing. It was total chaos." In other words, Meathead 101 has broken out.
Looked like the food fight at Animal House.
So, Watson, let me stop there because there's a lot of stuff we're going to go through. One of the things that I used to yell and scream about when Lane Kiffin was there was that I blamed a lot of this on Monty Kiffin. Here's the father, who's the defensive coordinator, who should have been able to walk into the room and say, "Listen, son, you're acting like a jackass, and I'm not going to put up with it. Now, this is the way you behave yourself when you're the head coach at an SEC level." And for whatever reason, Monty Kiffin never would do that. Why not?
Oh, boy, it's father-son. I don't know. That's a toughie. If he had it to do over, I think he would have helped him a little bit. But you don't want to just take over. When you're in these father-son roles, you just don't want to step on your son. I've had my son on my staff. And that's a toughie, George. You want to be there for him. You love him. You want to help him, but you don't want to act like you're the guy and you're trying to run the show. You got to let him make his own mistakes. So I would bet you that Monty would say, I think in that article he hinted to this, that he would go about things maybe in that year just a little bit different if he had it to do over again. So, boy, that's a great question to ask right out the gate, and it's a tough one, man, because it's family.
Terry, you're just sitting there quiet, aren't you?
I'm still in shock over the story, I guess.
Watson, in the coaching community back in 2009, what was kind of the feeling about Lane Kiffin?
Young upstart. Didn't know a lot about him. All we all saw was the Raiders debacle and what went down with that, but there was some success there. And, I mean, just a very young guy, then we were all saying, wow, did he jump up the ladder fast? I mean, he was a recruiting coordinator, I think I'm right about this, on the national championship team at Southern Cal. And then all of a sudden now he's the head coach at Southern Cal a few years later. And just the quick jump that he made, all of us in our profession have always said, you know, it's kind of the wow factor. We say, how'd this happen? What made the big jump for this guy? And especially that young. So I don't think anybody knew him well because he hadn't been around long, and he's a West Coast guy, so a lot of us across the country don't know the West Coast guys. I don't know him well, to be very honest. I've been around him, but don't know him. Don't know his ins and outs, and don't know him well myself. So that's what I'd say, George. A little bit of a guy that we all didn't know, and what's going on, what's he going to be like? And, buddy, he opened the floodgates up in that first year at Tennessee. There's no doubt.
Now, he's at Florida Atlantic now, and they had good success his first year, and then they've been kind of so-so since.
11-3 that first year, and since then it has slid huge.
But with Watson, with all that went on, not only at Tennessee but at Southern Cal, do you think Lane Kiffin is still too radioactive to ever get back to a Power 5 school?
Absolutely not, but he's got to win. He's got to win. He's got to win right where he is. They're not going to hire him with him going in the other direction right now, in my opinion. If his shot was that, I think he got some, didn't he? I don't remember, George, exactly, but I thought he got some play anyway. Maybe he didn't get offered one, but I know there were people talking about him. But he's got to win, Terry. Once you get on that, you hit those schools that haven't won as kind of my own self, and you lose. Now, I mean, it's just tough. You got to win when you hit those kind of programs to take the next step.
Watson, one of the things that when I think back to that year, first of all, it's hard for me to believe that that's been 10 years ago. A lot of things have happened in 10 years. So I guess, first of all, I was caught off guard today that it had been that long. What do I remember of that year? To me, the best thing that I remember about him is that he turned Jonathan Crompton into a serviceable quarterback, where, to be honest, before that, he had had a lot of a Felipe Franks kind of career.
Absolutely. I think, throw out all the antics, I thought he got that team better. That year, and there was some enthusiasm. That's why everybody got so upset. In my personal opinion, it wasn't just the way he did it. That was part of it, but that he was leaving. He had turned the communities on in this state. Good, bad, or indifferent, he had turned them on. Everybody was back looking at the University of Tennessee and seeing hope and some excitement. And it's, some of them were very upbeat about it. Some of them didn't like the way he went about things, but the team got better. And you listen to those players that they interviewed talk, they all felt like they were on their way. So I think the whole blow up was more that he left, and they added fuel to the fire in the way he left.
Oh gosh.
You know, when you read, I'm sure we're fixing to get into that.
But, yes.
Just like what they did before that Alabama game. I mean, that's that'll that it, that worked. That team nearly won that game. And Lord knows, we all as coaches have pulled some of those stunts. Lane ain't on his own. We've all pulled some of those stunts through the years with our teams. And I'm telling you, they can work and they can backfire right in your face. And, you know, I believe that if he had stayed, he would have settled down. And Tennessee would have been successful. Now, that's a bold statement by me because there's nothing to prove that. And then when he left, George, he really hadn't gotten it done. He wasn't getting it done at Southern Cal, and he's kind of headed again now in the wrong direction at
FAU.
You know, another point real quick, let me say, and then you can take this on the way you want, but isn't it interesting that all of his antics, and he's going against Nick Saban, and he's in the league with Nick Saban, and Nick Saban ends up hiring him back. So there was respect there. He had gained the respect of the coaches within the league, or Nick never brings him. And Nick knew of all the antics and everything with it now, George, and yet he brings him to Alabama and really was the first important offensive hire I thought that he brought in.
Okay, that's the storyline you're going to throw out there. The cynic in me says that Nick Saban hired Lane Kiffin as a favor to both of their agents, friend of mine, Jimmy Sexton, who basically, I think, went to Saban and said, this guy's career is in the dumper. Help me.
That ain't Nick Saban. Nick Saban wants to win, man. He's not going to take chances. He believed he could do it. Now, maybe that was part of it, but there's no doubt in my mind Nick Saban don't hire him if he don't think he can do the job. Ain't no doubt. That's not Nick Saban now. That's not the guy I know. He's winning whatever it takes to win, period. So George, that one's hard for me.
Well, since you brought all this up, I will tell you an interesting story. The Tennessee had one of those fan day pep rally type deals at the Wild Horse Saloon the year that Lane Kiffin was the head coach. And there's Ed Orgeron there, you know, giving his spiel and all this, that, and the other, firing the crowd up.
Right.
And Kiffin speaks, and then, you know, there's a media session afterwards. And you could tell, you know, some of what Watson brought up. I mean, you know, you could tell he was part televangelist and part snake oil salesman, but he had the crowd eating out of his hand that day. Now, granted, it's a UT gathering, so it's going to be raucous anyway, but it was unbelievable how much those people bought into Lane Kiffin when he arrived.
Go ahead, Watson.
You're right on, Terry. I'm telling you now, that's the reason the place went nuts, is because he had turned them on. They were excited for the true first time, and they really thought they're on their way. And there's things they didn't like, but there's also a lot of things they did like. I think they liked his boldness, to tell you the truth. And I guess, George, I don't want to get ahead of the article, but, I mean, down in there he says, I copied Steve Spurrier.
Right. I'm going to get to that here in just a second.
I didn't want to take the thunder away here. So just lead me the way you want. But that's the part I still say to this day is – he, more than anybody that's walked in the door since, had tennis, the ball fans eating out of the palm of his hands. I think he had the players right there, too.
Here's one quote that I want to get to, and then we'll get to the Spurrier stuff after the break. After a few months, one of Tennessee's most prominent boosters, Pilot Corporation founder Jim Haslam, pulled Monty Kiffin aside. He said, listen, I like Lane a lot. I really do. And think he's going to do big things here, but could you get him to zip it up a little bit? Monty recalled. And then Monty says, well, here we are 10 years later, and he still hasn't zipped it up.
If you all know Monty Kiffin, now that is, I love him. He's a piece of work, and he'll say what he thinks, too. So, I mean, everything he just said right there, George, is very true.
So,
he has not zipped it up now.
No.
He has not.
So to go with what Watson was saying, in the story it says, to this day Lane Kiffin claims his verbal playbook was copied from that of former Florida and South Carolina coach Steve Spurrier. Quote, a lot of the things I was saying, that's straight out of Steve Spurrier 101. and people loved Coach Spurrier, taking a shot at someone else and making a joke, Kiffin said. That's who I grew up idolizing, Steve Spurrier. That's why I wear a visor and why I run a wide-open offense. I grew up wanting to be Steve Spurrier, and that's why it was so cool to beat him that season. Spurrier, on the other hand, does not want any of the credit or the blame for Kiffin's scorched-earth approach, and he says, oh no, don't blame me for it. I wasn't doing and saying some of the stuff he was. I know they clobbered us pretty good that year in that night game. How many years was he there, one or two? When told just one, Spurrier said, seemed longer. I guess a lot happened in that one year. These are some great quotes. Anyway, I know we need to go to the break. We're going to continue with more that is in this story, but here's one area where I would like a little help from some of you out there listening, in particular from some Tennessee fans. What's your opinion of Lane Kiffin? Do you like him? Do you love him? Do you hate him? Do you wish he had been hired back when Jeremy Pruitt got the job? I would like a little feedback from some of you right now. 844-5600 is the number. 615 is the area code. Again, 844-5600. I want to see some phone lines light up. You're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Let's say hello to my buddy and former 1977 BGA classmate, James Warren. He's now the owner of Sir Speedy in Berry Hill. James, let's talk a little mailing services.
We do mailing for all kinds of folks, George. And I will say, if a business needs to boost sales or drive customer loyalty, they can talk to us. We'll have it covered. Our direct mail pros can get your company in front of the right people with our comprehensive direct mail and mailing services. Basically, all you have to do is share your goals with us, and we do the rest. Get the ball rolling and send your next direct mail project to us at rates cheaper than you can mail things.
Give me the particulars.
So our email address is print@sirspeedymusiccity.com. You can find us online at sirspeedymusiccity.com or give us a call at 615-832-9511. We've got you covered.
Okay, let's say your business does $5,000, $20,000, $100,000 or more in monthly revenue. There are probably times when you need more cash flow to run your business, right? Right. If you're a business owner in this situation, you need to call the Merchant Cash Advance Line right now. We're not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We're a direct lender with the power to approve deals. We look at your business and we decide how much money to lend you, good credit or bad credit. If your business is solid, we can lend you up to $500,000. You can use the money for anything you think is right to run your business. If you need money and you don't want to deal with a bank, call now. Learn how easy it is to get up to $500,000 in as little as 2 to 3 days.
Call now. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. That's 800-452-4846.
I'm Eric Opron, Managing Director of the Omni Nashville Hotel. I want to personally invite you to experience the local flavor of Music City at our award-winning property. From our one-of-a-kind culinary outlet to the ultimate luxury of our full-service Mokara Spa, Omni Nashville offers something for everyone. Whether it's the Biscuit Bar in our Southern-inspired Kitchen Notes restaurant or our upscale Honky Tonk bar lines, or if you prefer a romantic dinner, visit Bob's Steak and Chop House. Come on down and see us at 250 Fifth Avenue South, located in the heart of the SoBro District.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000. Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Martin Truex Jr. takes home the checkered flag from Las Vegas Motor Speedway, race number one of the 10-race playoffs for NASCAR. Up next this weekend is the short track at Richmond. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, this is Martin Truex Jr., and I get my NASCAR news on The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And like us at Facebook.com/TheFinalLap. We'd appreciate it every single weekday right here.
The time, we're having a little bit of fun with a story that Chris Lowe has put out on ESPN.com about Lane Kiffin's year at Tennessee. I would like to get some of your reactions, in particular, if you're a Tennessee fan and you're listening to the show. Do you like Lane Kiffin? Do you not like him? Where do you stand on him? Because I'll admit, I was surprised how many people wanted him rehired when Tennessee eventually settled on Jeremy Pruitt. So I would like to hear from some of you at 844-5600, and if you'll get in now, we'll get to you pretty quickly.
Well, one thing, George, I don't think Lane Kiffin is an option for Tennessee now with Phil Fulmer back in charge.
No,
I think that ship has sailed.
Yeah. But you know,
but
I mean,
sure, you heard... absolutely. There were people that wanted him to come back.
Yeah.
When John Curry was still calling the
it
shots there.
It floored me how many people did. Watson, you out there?
I'm listening to you too. I said all I can say is that wasn't gonna happen. You very, very, very seldom do you ever bring a guy back that left. It just doesn't happen. I never thought that was gonna go down. There were people that brought it up, and but again, I think there were people out there that thought he was the answer and gonna get it done, but that wasn't going down.
Okay. Again, 844-5600 is the number. I would like to hear from some of you who are Tennessee fans as to your opinion of Lane Kiffin. Do you like him? Do you not like him? Would you have liked to have had him back? Whatever. So let's go back to where the story starts that Chris Lowe wrote, and it involves the night before his year when they took Alabama right to the wire and lost 12-10. Okay. Alabama escapes, sealing the victory on the final play when Mammoth nose guard Terrence Cody blocked Daniel Lincoln's 44-yard field goal attempt. Lance Thompson remembers walking past Kiffin on the sideline just before the kick. Lincoln had already missed one field goal, had another one blocked, and he was nursing a painful quadriceps injury. But make or miss, Kiffin was relishing the stress that he was putting on his future boss. Quote, Lane comes up to me and says, Lincoln is hurt, and this is a long kick. It's going to be tough for him to make it. But look across the field at Saban. Just look at his face. That in itself is almost worth whatever happens. Okay. Then he goes on and says, after the game, Kiffin strolled through the mass of crimson and orange on the Bryant-Denny Stadium field to find Saban for the post-game handshake and said, hey, good game, but that's the last time it's going to happen. And a decade later, Kiffin shrugs and says, it was the last time it happened. It was the last time he beat me. So I guess that part is true.
Oh, me. Unbelievable.
There's more to this story, and I probably haven't gotten to all of it.
You've gotten to plenty.
Oh, I've definitely gotten. I've gotten to plenty. I have not gotten to. I have not gotten to the point where he takes the USC job.
Yeah.
But here is where Chris Lowe gets into that. He says, when the Seattle Seahawks head coaching spot became open after Jim Mora was fired, all signs pointed to Kiffin's mentor, Pete Carroll, leaving USC and returning to the NFL. Hamilton met with Kiffin, this is Mike Hamilton, Tennessee's athletic director, and asked him if he would be interested in the USC job. Sure, I would be, but I'm so far down their list, they're not going to hire me, Kiffin told Hamilton. A few days later, as Kiffin attended an SEC head coaches meeting in Orlando, the Trojans did call, and he couldn't say no. Word began to leak out that he had accepted USC's offer, and many of the Tennessee players got the news when they saw it on ESPN. It was around that time that players started to get text messages about a hastily called team meeting. Now, while all of this was going on, Ed Orgeron struck in a way that was not very good and said a few of those players put Orgeron on speakerphone, and Walker, and I'm not sure who Walker is, said he quickly grabbed the phone. Quote, "That's when it got ugly because I was trying to calm the guys down and telling them to let Lane say what he wanted to say. But when Jawan James put Orgeron on the speakerphone, that's when I grabbed it, told O not to call our players anymore, and hung up. I love O and love playing for him, but that should not have happened." Well, the story got out that using a University of Tennessee authorized cell phone, that Orgeron was calling Tennessee recruits saying, "Don't show up for class because then you'll be eligible to come out to Southern Cal with us." And that didn't go over real well.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Now that is the most no class thing in the article right there. You just absolutely do not do that. I've left teams and gone to other teams and done it a bunch. That, George, is no class. Right. What Coach O did right there is absolutely no class, and it's just taboo. You don't do that. And after reading the article, everything, I chuckled at a lot in there, but when that one popped up, I said, ooh, this is real bad right here.
So, in your opinion, this FAU thing has gone from a high where you could make the argument that, well, he inherited something pretty decent, and with his excitement level took it to an 11-3, but since then, more on his recruits, this thing has fallen considerably. So is he going to make this work at FAU?
Well, we watch it. That's all we can do now is watch it, and he's now at a spot where he's got to. He really does, George. To me, the only way if he just doesn't think he can, he would bolt again and go be a coordinator in the NFL or something and try to work his way back that way to college ball again. But he's got to make it work, and I don't know. They're not off to a good start this year. I think they're okay. I think he beat a MAC school, the Ball State, I think, last week.
He did.
He's 1-1. He's in a league that's not real good. A lot of those teams in Conference USA, as you know, are in that bottom 25. There's not much reason that he shouldn't be. FIU's down and really hurting right now. They've been clobbered. So, I mean, he's got his shot. And I was very surprised he took that job. I'll bring this up. Do you think he just left Alabama because he just had enough, or maybe Nick was ready to part ways, or why in the world did he take FAU? Why wouldn't he hang around and keep going at Alabama till he gets something much better than that?
Well, don't you think it's a little bit of both sides?
I don't know.
Well,
you hear all the rumors from
sure.
both ends. You hear it. We heard it when he left. Well, Nick was getting rid of him. He can't take Nick anymore. You know, we heard all of that, but that's all just rumor. I've never gotten to the bottom of it. Nobody has ever told me exactly
right.
what went down or why. A lot of people say he just won't be a head coach, and he didn't care. He thinks he can win anywhere, and he just took off and said, "I want to be a head coach again. Let's go."
Well, and the truth. Okay, the truth of it is, an FAU, given where they're located, ought to be able to take Florida and Florida State's and Miami's leftovers and do very well in Conference USA. So, I guess I am a little surprised that the initial early start that was so good hadn't gone anywhere.
Well, and I think this is the year, too. Let's see where it goes, because this is a big year. And maybe he pulls this out and and has a good year and goes to the bowl and we see him move on. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to watch. They've not played great in the first two when I've studied the games. I love to watch teams and coaches and look at their stats from each game and what try to predict where they're headed. I'm just one of them kind of idiots. And they're not off to a very good start. They're really struggling on defense. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where he goes. Conference USA is a high-scoring league, as you know, George. And everybody's offense, and he's got one. He proved it again last week at Ball State. He had a big offensive game at Ball State. So maybe he'll outscore people in that league and win his share, and we'll see him move on.
Well, you know, to me, going back to the Saban thing, and I have absolutely nothing to base this on, but to me, the mix of Kiffin and Saban probably was only going to last so long anyway, because while they are completely opposite in terms of how they approach things, I think both of those guys are alpha personalities that, you know, want to be in control of things, and my guess is that probably reared its head at some point.
They're alike in one way, though, and that can bond you. They're alike in one way. They're competitive as they can be. They're very competitive. They're going to do whatever it takes to win, and that is where they're like. When they went together, people said that, Terry. They said, I said, I don't know now. I mean, when two guys get together that really believe in winning and going to do whatever it takes to win and going to spend those long hours and toot off, I'm going to win. Both of them have that personality that you just said, that personality of I'm going to win. And we're going to win. And I mean, you're at Alabama, so that does help. But that is the thing that those two have in common, in my opinion.
Watson, let me ask you this. He made what I think was a huge tactical blunder. And he's had a few in his career, and for the most part, it's been a decent sport about it and laughed about it afterwards. But I do wonder about this one. He has almost planned taking some shots at Saban. And to me, that one doesn't look good, because we all know that Nick Saban is no ball of fire to have to coach with. He's going to make your life miserable. The flip side is you're probably going to get a head coaching job for having been a part of that family tree.
Yeah, but the win in George, and you're getting paid unbelievably well there. So you'll put up with a little of that when those two things are there for you.
But do you think...
if you watch, people don't stay long. They don't stay long with him.
Right, but do you think athletic directors have looked at him bad-mouthing Saban and said, I don't want any part of that?
Yep, I think he has to overcome that. I agree with you. There's no reason to do that. They parted ways. They were very successful together. I would be hugging on him every chance I get. That's what I think he should have done, and he didn't. But George, anytime he's asked about anything, what does he do? I mean, it isn't just Nick Saban. It's kind of you bring something up from wherever with that Lane has had a part of, and they ask him about that, he takes his shots. That's the personality. That may be the thing that where he'll have to win good for somebody to take the chance to hire him. That may be a holdback on him. You would think as he's getting older here, because I've made some of them. I've done it myself when I was young and brass, and you get knocked down, and you finally realize, man, that's not the way to go, for God's sakes. And I would have thought maybe he would have backed off, but I hadn't seen it, not at all.
Did you ever see it hurt Spurrier? Because Spurrier did that.
Oh, a lot of that. When Steve says, well, I didn't do that, go right back and look at some of them. Go back and just get the quotes and see. And him said, well, I didn't do that. And I'm sitting there chuckling when I heard it, because I'm coaching against Steve. You remember the night when we had him beat? At Vanderbilt, when he won the ACC, that team played us at Vanderbilt. We had him beat, George, and miss a
four-yard field goal at the buzzer.
at the field goal at the buzzer. So I've gone against Steve a bunch, and he's, don't tell me he hadn't made rash statements now and taken shots at people that he's playing and before games and after games. So I think they are similar in what they've said. Maybe Lane is a little more personal with it than Steve, but there's been shots taken. I mean, Lane says I copied him. He was my idol. So, I mean, Steve can't completely just say none of that ever happened, for God's sakes.
For the record, and then we'll stop this and go to the break, FAU from here on in plays Wagner. They play at Charlotte against my buddy Will Healy. They play MTSU down in Florida. They play Marshall down in Florida. They go to Old Dominion, go to Western Kentucky on November the 2nd, play FIU in what is now called the Shula Bowl, at Texas San Antonio, against Southern Miss to close out the regular season, and then if they're fortunate enough, the Conference USA title game. So they're definitely some games they're going to win in there. I make them a favorite over Wagner.
Is that Robert Wagner?
Way to go, George. That a way to stick your neck out, buddy.
That's not your underdog pick this week.
That's a good job.
George's underdog pick is Wagner.
Way to go. Way to go, George. Man. I mean, that a way to stick your neck out. I'm proud of you,
I knew
buddy.
That would get There's some no response. Doubt. 340 is...
There wasn't a game on there. There wasn't a game on there you said he can't win.
Right.
He's probably as good as every team that you mentioned, so let's see what goes down.
340, we go to the break by telling you you're listening to the George Plaster Show from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
I'm Urban Meyer from Fox's Big Noon Kickoff pregame show. And this week we've got a great matchup on Big Noon Saturday. It's a crucial Big Ten showdown as the undefeated Wolverines take on 2-0 Wisconsin. Touchdown! Their bruising defense looks to shut down Heisman hopeful Jonathan Taylor and the Badgers in an early statement game between conference title contenders.
See you later!
Start Saturday strong. Start Saturday at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on Fox.
Let me tell you about my good friend Kenneth. He has the site, which is soulstreetcoffee.com. 8 different blends, 16 teas on there. And he is the exclusive sponsor of Kevin Hagan every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, talking Alabama football, Alabama sports. That's soulstreetcoffee.com. I need you to order now. It is a fantastic product. You will absolutely love it. That's soulstreetcoffee.com.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call N-O-W.
800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. That's 800-898-0816.
Tee it up at Edwin Watts Golf Shops this year with the new 2019 fall arrivals. Introducing the strikingly new T-Series irons from Titleist. Featuring the T100 iron designed as a player's iron, the T200 iron a player's distance iron, and the T300 iron, the complete game improvement iron. All pure Titleist. Let us help you find the right set and get custom fit today. Just a few of the new releases you'll find at Edwin Watts Golf Shops, home with a 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee, serving golfers since 1968. 88.
Congratulations to Tim Corbin and the 2019 Vanderbilt Commodores.
Vanderbilt, for the second time in school history, wins the national championship. And I believe you have just seen the greatest team in Vanderbilt baseball history.
The Vanderbilt Commodores.
We're glad we can celebrate among all of you, the Vanderbilt fans, the Vanderbilt community, Nashville.
Congratulations from your home for Vanderbilt baseball.
I think everybody loves having you guys being our flagship station. It means a lot to us.
Nashville Sports Radio.
Bi-State Forecast.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyCan Forecast. For today, sunny and warm with a high 97. Tonight, a little bit cooler and comfortable with a low 70. Thursday's going to be mostly sunny with a high 93. And for Friday, more sunshine with a high 90. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR Shannon Holly.
Sports Radio WNSR.
.344 and Terry, it is time to use your expertise.
Uh-oh.
You didn't seem very excited about that, did you?
What you got, George?
Well, in the backdrop of the Titans-Jacksonville game is the scenario where Jalen Ramsey wants a trade. He wants out of Jacksonville. He and Doug Marrone not getting along. And, you know, this is sort of a delicate deal. Because Doug Marrone is a little bit on the hot seat as well after having gotten that team to the AFC title game a year and a half ago. Last season they bombed, and so now he's under the gun a little bit, and they've started 0-2. So, you know, you've already gotten one deal where a player has openly said, I want out, and got his wish. Minka Fitzpatrick ends up going to the Steelers from the Miami Dolphins, who soon will attempt to join
the MAC.
The MAC. Yeah, why not?
The Sun Belt.
The XFL. Why not?
Thank you, yes. Any of the above, all of the above. So in the NFL, you never used to see trades. It was almost taboo. Oh, we don't do trades. And now all of a sudden, we've had one player openly say, I want out and get his wish. And now Jacksonville is at least saying, we're open to listening to offers, as opposed to, he's a shutdown corner, tough, he can just stay here. Is there a trend here? Is there something new going on in the league where we're going to see more of this?
Well, some of it is they have relaxed some of the rules that make it easier to trade now with salary cap ramifications and all than it used to be. But there's also the thing out there that it's got a little bit of an NBA-type quality to it. You know how in the NBA players get together, they demand a trade so that three or four superstars can get together and play on one team and go win a championship. And it looks like that there's starting to be a little bit of that, not nearly on that level, because it takes more than just three players to win in football. You've got to have an entire team.
Different roster size, 15 in the NBA.
But you take a team that is, say, a shutdown cornerback or a game-breaking wide receiver short. Say without that, they're a 9-10 win team. They add that, they're an 11 or 12 win team. Then absolutely they're going to look at doing something like that.
So let me ask you this. Are you surprised that Jacksonville appears to have said, okay, you want out, you know, here's the asking price, let's see what happens?
A little bit. Because you do have him under contract for a couple of more years, I believe.
Right.
What year is this for him? 3, 4?
Let's say 4. I don't know that for sure. But what we do know for sure is he's a commodity because he is a completely shut down corner who also likes to use his mouth a lot.
Oh, absolutely. And shut down corners don't grow on trees, as they say. I think when you look at the situation that Jacksonville finds them in, it's not a lot unlike what the Steelers and then the Raiders found themselves with Antonio Brown, where you've got a guy who doesn't want to be here. So rather than him rip apart your locker room, then maybe you are better off trading him. Now, I don't think they're going to just give him away, and I would kind of be surprised if they traded him, unless things really go south. If Jackson, let's say the Titans go in there and take care of business tomorrow night and hand the Jags their hat, then you're looking at 0-3. And if you're Doug Marrone, you're behind the eight ball because you're about to get fired. Your best player is openly fighting with you and demanding a trade. You're in a mess. And so I think it's a situation where he's in a lose-lose type situation if they don't go in and win tomorrow night, and Jalen Ramsey is a part of that.
So do you think the Jags are essentially playing both sides against the middle?
Possibly, yes.
Where they're sitting there saying, yeah, if somebody blows us away with an offer, we'll trade him, but there's a real good shot that half of this problem may go away because we may fire him.
Yeah, that's possible. You know, now, if somebody comes in and says, here's two first-round picks, they're liable to say, see ya.
And nobody's going to do that.
Right.
I do think they can get one first round and then probably a bunch of junk.
Yeah,
but I don't think they can get two number ones.
Maybe one first round and a fifth round, or swap of six for a fifth or something like that. That might be the asking price.
Okay, man on the plateau, where do you stand on all this?
Well, I think you're both of you are right. I think that there's one thing that I believe to throw to this is Coach Marrone and Tom Coughlin's personalities are two peas in a pod, and they're not one to put up with much. And so if the first reaction by both of them is their personalities. Okay, fine, we'll see what's out there. They're just not going to put up with much. But that saying it and doing it, fellas, is two different things. And Tom Coughlin's a sharp fella and been around a long time. He's not going to give up a corner like that unless he gets a ton. And I also think that they're sitting there, Tom Coughlin's sitting there, not Marrone, and he's sitting there saying, hey, I mean, if things don't get better here, we may have to make a switch anyway. There's a lot more pressure, in my opinion, on Jacksonville tomorrow night than the Titans. Both need the game. Both don't want to start 0-2 in the league, in the division. They don't. But at the same time, going 0-2 and losing at home on national television on Thursday night and not having a good year last year along with it, I just think there's a good bit more pressure on the Jags to win at home, knowing 0-2 and then 0-3. The Titans have got to win. They've got one. So it's you go 0-3, gracious. So I think there's a lot more pressure on those guys than there are the Titans.
So in your crystal ball,
How
does this play out?
Yeah, my crystal ball and a dime will get you a cup of coffee.
A little murky, isn't it?
Yeah, just a tad. It's been murky. I've already said, I think the Titans are going to have a really good offensive night.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, how do you think the Jalen Ramsey thing plays out?
I think if they lose, he'll hang around, and then let's see what goes down. I don't ever like letting a coach go and don't think they should. Coach Marrone deserves the opportunity to see this thing through, at least through the year. But crazy business we're in now, man. It's a different world, and there could be a quick switch, George, if they were to lose tonight. I'm not saying that, and sure don't think that should happen. But I know the world, and I know the business, and that's why I feel there's a lot more pressure on the Jags just because of maybe the pressure on the coach. You don't feel that on the Titans coach the same way at all.
We will wrap up this show when we come back at 3:52. You're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Hello, I'm Tom Hodges of Goggin Cold Hall, a regional refrigerated company that operates within a 500-mile radius of our home in Smyrna, Tennessee. We're seeking professional drivers to join our family-owned business. Our number one priority of serving our customers is by taking care of our employees first. With a $1,000 sign-on bonus plus a driver referral program, Goggin Cold Hall offers an excellent benefit package with a 401k retirement plan, paid vacations and holidays, insurance options, and a competitive pay structure that includes weekly, monthly, and quarterly bonuses. No Northeast travel, no touch freight, and with our late model Freightliner and Kenworth equipment, we promise to treat you in a first-class manner. If you're interested in joining our family at Goggin Cold Hall, please visit www.goggincold.com. That's www.goggincold.com or call us at 931-225-3873. That's Goggin Cold Hall, the coldest team in town.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
It may not require a textbook, but it's filled with valuable lessons. It may not take place in a classroom, but it's an ideal environment for learning. It may not involve a diploma, but it can help prepare Tennessee's young people for life. It's high school sports. High school sports can play a critical role in a student's overall education. In fact, studies show that students that participate in high school sports are more likely to enjoy greater levels of achievement in their academic lives. If you think high school sports are only about competition, think again. Better yet, think about attending a high school sporting event in your community. You'll be amazed by what you see. High school sports, a winning part of a complete education. This message presented by the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association and the Tennessee Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-649-4584 or go online, lynchtreeserve@aol.com.
Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM has been your home for sports for 20 years. From typewriters to Twitter, fax machines to Facebook, we have you covered 24/7 and on the go. Finding us online is as easy as at Nash Sports Radio. Twitter, at Nash Sports Radio. SoundCloud, at Nash Sports Radio. Facebook, at Nash Sports Radio. Or search your app store for WNSR. 20 years of sports. Anytime, anywhere. From Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Terry, I want you to listen to this very closely, very closely. With Washington's loss today in St. Louis, the Braves' magic number is down to 2, which means tonight, when Julio Teheran takes on the Phillies on this radio station, we could cut the magic number down to 1. Tomorrow morning, the Braves play at 11 o'clock. And the likelihood, given that most major league games are now in the 3-hour vicinity, we may not come on tomorrow until around 2:30. But we may come on as a clinched division title winner. Can you imagine how exciting that will be?
Yes, because the Yankees' magic number is 1, and they can clinch tonight.
Well, whoop-de-doo. We don't live in New York. Who cares?
We don't live in Atlanta either.
Well, that's a good point. Going to have a hard time on that one. So you're now minus Dellin Betanzas.
Yes. We never really had him.
No, what was the injury?
Apparently a partially torn Achilles. That does not sound good.
No, it doesn't. I'd like to sign him. the end of the season, even with this injury. I like him.
He's
big
a good pitcher.
Ball, yeah.
Good pitcher.
So, Watson, just imagine, you know, the thrill of clinching the division title, a little post-game activity down in the locker room, and then you come to me.
Go Braves.
Tomorrow.
Go Braves. Just have fun with it, big boy.
Well,
it
what
can
I
go away quick.
I know it. What
have
I would fun. What I would really enjoy is for Bryce Harper to have to watch this.
Well, I think he's going to be watching.
Oh, I think he would be.
He's watching somebody.
Well,
there's no doubt about it because they're not in.
No. No, it would turn
so
out.
So he's going to be watching.
No, if my scenario works out right, then Bryce Harper may well have to see Atlanta celebrate that division title. And I don't think.
Oh, you mean right there on the spot?
Oh, I mean right there on the spot. Because I don't believe when he signed with Philly that he thought that, okay, the Braves will be 35 over .500 and we'll be 6 over .500. I don't think that's what he signed up for.
I don't think he signed up for finishing
sure
behind his
that's
former
what the
team
Philly
either.
Signed up for.
I don't think so either. Anyway, guys, that's what we've got coming tomorrow. But the most important thing will be that at 3 o'clock, we have the underdog picks. And unfortunately, we have to review last week. Is there music playing in the background? It's coming. Okay, there it is. Yeah. Tomorrow, let's make it a tomahawk chop, shall we? Yeah. Watson, see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, babe. Go Braves.
Terry, see you tomorrow.
See ya.
And no, we're not going to cheer on the Yankees. Not on this show. Never. See you tomorrow.